Welcome to Demand and Disrupt the Disability Podcast. Here, we will learn to advocate for ourselves and each other. This podcast is supported with funds from the Advocado Press based in Louisville, Kentucky.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Demand and Disrupt a Disability Podcast. I'm your host, Kimberly Parsley.
And I'm Lisa McKinley. Today, I am going to speak with Jenny Smith. Jenny became quadriplegic after an accident in gymnastics. She's going to tell us more about that. But what she does is she helps people going through the experiencing disability. She really helps them deal with the grieving process and how to find hope and joy and just, you know, finding purpose in life. And it was such a pleasure speaking with her.
I'm so excited that you got to talk to her, because I tell you, ever since we started this podcast, people have been saying, you know who you should talk to is Jenny Smith. I mean, I literally have heard that like 10 times. So I'm so glad that you were finally able to reach out to her and get to talk with her. How was it?
It was amazing. I actually called her a few weeks ago to set up the interview. And when I first spoke with her, I was like, oh my gosh, in the first 30 seconds, I'm like, I cannot wait for this interview, because she's so positive and she has this energy about her and just wise, just very wise. So it was a great interview and I loved talking with her, and she had a lot of great things to say and to help encourage people. So speaking of, you know, dealing with disability and that transition, I was wondering about your transition, and is there anything that stands out about your transition into the world of being disabled?
You know, I've thought about this some, and I think, of course, I lost my sight at 14, and I went from basically could function with glasses to not having anything. So it was both slow and abrupt at the same time, which is weird. But I think as a teenager, there are things that I probably should have dealt with around, you know, becoming disabled when I was a teenager, that just the whole being a teenager took up all my emotional bandwidth for. And those are things that I didn't actually process or do the work for until I was in my 40s. So, you know, there's just, I don't think my situation was basically a sink or swim. And I just took off swimming and didn't really think that maybe I could have learned to float a little bit, you know. So that's a really ridiculous analogy, but there it is. So it's summertime. We can do some swimming analogy. How about you?
Exactly. You know, I think you were probably kind of like in survival mode in a sense. And, you know, it's hard to just take the time to process and deal with it when you're, you know, trying to do so many other things. And 14, that was the same age that I lost my vision completely. And you had Jerry Wheatley as a guest once. I want to tell you, that was one of the most impactful interviews for me to listen to, because he talked about going from having partial vision to losing his vision completely. And, you know, how difficult that was. And I finally, for the first time, felt really validated, because I remember my vision was going pretty quickly. But at the, you know, the day before I lost my vision, I was at the point, you know, I could still see colors and shapes and sunrise and all that beautiful contrast. And then I wake up the next day and it's gone. But to so many, it was like, well, she didn't really lose much. And so I started processing it that way, but it wasn't true. I had lost a lot, and it was really difficult to, so to hear him talk about that, it was just really, it was just really validating. And, mm-hmm. you know, Jenny, she actually facilitates an educational support group. It's an 8-week support group to help people deal with the emotional and spiritual aspects of becoming disabled. And that actually begins on June 3rd. So we are going to provide some links if you'd like to get registered for that. She's also written a book about her experience. You can find her on at Jenny Smith Rolls On. And you can also find her on Facebook and Instagram at Jenny Smith Rolls On as well.
Awesome. That's great. That is amazing. I will definitely look into that, and we'll put those links in the show notes. And that sounds exciting. And yeah, Jerry will get the big head when he hears this, but Jerry's maybe one of the reasons that I was able to, you know, keep going and keep swimming is because I knew that he had done it. I knew other people who had done, you know, who had made a successful life as a blind person. So I never doubted that it was possible, which, you know, not everyone has that luxury, do they?
Exactly. And the book, A Celebration of Family, just reading the stories in there, that was really encouraging too. So I'm glad you were able to contribute to that book as well.
Yeah, we are lucky. That's what we're trying to do here, isn't it? Create a community of people who can get not only the information they need, but also the support and the not really guidance, but just the support and the mentoring, if that's what they need or whatever. And anyone can reach out to any time demandanddisrupt@gmail.com. If there's information that you need that we don't have listed in the show notes, I will get that to you, and you can reach out to whoever that we've talked to that you feel might be a positive person in your life to have to talk with. All of our people are, the disability community is just overwhelmingly really, really eager and willing, enthusiastic to help, you know, other people going through the same thing. So yeah, we're here to help. And now we will go straight to your interview with Jenny. I can't wait to hear it.
As introduced in the top of the program, here is the lovely Miss Jenny Smith. Hello, Jenny. Thank you for joining me today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
So, Jenny, would you first start out, just tell us a little about yourself.
So I was injured when I was 16 years old. I had been a competitive gymnast, and that is who I was. That was my identity. And I was outside tumbling one morning, and the grass was wet, and my feet slipped out from underneath me. I didn't have enough height or rotation to make it all the way around, and I landed face first in the grass, and I sustained a C6-7 spinal cord injury. And that left me paralyzed from the chest down and without the use of my hands. And so it's been 34 years. I'll let you do the math. I won't do that. as far as how long I've been living with the spinal cord injury and how old I am. But yeah, so that's just kind of a short introduction of my disability.
So you have a passion for helping people through the grieving process that comes with physical disabilities and just losing certain physical functions. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? And what was it like for you going through that process? I'm sure it's in some ways never ending.
That's a great point. Yeah. So to start off, for about 13 years, I was working with a ministry, and I was supporting people as they were transitioning to life overseas. And so I had all of these models that I was familiar with about transition. And what is involved with transition is a lot of grief. There's a lot of loss involved. And there was just one day where I had that realization. There are so many parallels to transitioning to life overseas and transitioning to life with a disability. And so that's kind of how what I'm doing came about, is, you know, being aware of those parallels. My own experience when I was 16, once again, having grown up a good gymnast, if I was in pain, if I was frustrated, if I was mad, I stuffed it and I just went on. And that's basically what I did after my injury. I had never had really good role models as far as how to grieve well, how to express emotion. And so I just stuffed all of those emotions. I did not become depressed, thankfully, after my injury. And maybe it would have been a little bit healthier had I done so. But it took me a longer amount of time to come to terms with my injury, of the permanence of my injury, and just what that really means. I think for a spinal cord injury, you know that that involves paralysis. So yeah, okay, I'm paralyzed. But we don't always understand what that means because of the secondary issues that come with paralysis. And that includes bladder and bowel issues, personal care, loss of independence. So much of that is involved. So there's a lot of loss involved. And I just push that away. So what I'm really enjoying doing this past year has been leading 8-week groups, and they're called The Journey. And it's for anyone who has sustained either a disability or has a chronic physical condition and just needing and wanting to process all of the stuff that goes on with a disability. Some people are newer injuries or have newer disabilities. Other people have been injured as long as I have. And so it's a really neat combination of people that come together, get to share their experiences, and in a group setting, you get to know that you're not alone. And I think that's so important.
What kind of thing have you experienced seeing people come to terms with the loss and with their new norm?
Yeah, so let me address two things. So there's just something about a new normal that I just don't like that term, because there's nothing normal about life with a disability in some ways. I mean, there is, and yet it's so different. And so, and then coming to terms and acceptance, I think so many people believe that acceptance means giving up. And I believe that acceptance is giving yourself the ability to live life, giving yourself the permission to live life as your physical condition allows it now. And that to me is more hopeful. There's so much more there. And so I think for what I've been able to see with people who have been in the groups, they can see that purpose and that meaning that they have in their life. They've been able to grieve those losses and maybe even name losses that they didn't even know that they had experienced. And we can't grieve properly until we can name those losses. So it's so much of a process, and it's just been such an honor to be able to walk with people through that journey.
Can you tell me about how helping others has helped you?
Yes, I have found, I think that is just kind of part of who I am. So it's ingrained in me. Before my injury, I was a gymnastics coach. So I enjoyed coming alongside other people and encouraging them, especially the young girls who were gymnasts. And once I was in college, just being able to take on tutoring positions and realizing that all of those have some similarities. And despite having a disability, I still have those same gifts and talents that I can use in a different way. And so finding this niche has been really cool to be able to bring together kind of like all of my worlds. So my master's is in counseling psychology, and I've worked in cross-cultural context for a while. And then also with my world of disability, I feel like I get to bring all of them together, which is so really neat to see that I'm at a point in life where I get to bring together all of those parts of my life.
We all need something to throw ourselves into. I believe strongly in that. You have even traveled abroad in helping people adjust. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes. So I started traveling for about 8 years. I worked with a nonprofit organization where we distributed wheelchairs in developing countries. And like an average American, I just assumed that everyone with a disability received what they needed after their injury or after a disability. And so I received a wheelchair. In fact, I received two wheelchairs, a power chair and a manual chair. And it was when I learned that that's not the case for people overseas where it really planted a seed that I wanted to do something. And about a year later, I had the opportunity. I was talking with someone, and they said, "Why don't you come on a trip with us?" And my first response was, "That's impossible." I didn't see that there was any way that I would be able to travel internationally. But 6 months later, I was in the mountains of Mexico and getting to help distribute wheelchairs to people who had never had the opportunity to have one. And I think not only did that give me an appreciation for what we have here in the U.S., it also, once again, there's a sense of purpose, you know, being able to give someone else some hope, give someone some independence is just a really beautiful thing. And so that I did that for about 8 years. And then more recently in January, I traveled to Honduras and we did a 3-day journey conference down there. And just doing what we typically do, what I typically do here in the US in 8 weeks online, we did in 3 days in a conference. And just being able to work through those losses, the grief journey, paradox and transition, and finding meaning and purpose. And it was such a great opportunity to see all of those are universal. So that's not something just people here in the US experience. It's a universal grief is everyone experiences grief. And so being able to come alongside and support people in Honduras in that capacity was really, really incredible.
I can imagine that was an amazing healing experience for so many people. And also to be able to, with your other work and being able to provide people with wheelchairs and equipment they need, I can only imagine the gratitude there from others was just probably almost overwhelming. Did you see a lot of gratitude with when people were able to get equipment that they otherwise wouldn't have been able to?
Absolutely. When people receive a wheelchair that they would never be able to afford on their annual salary, there's definitely a sense of appreciation. And I think on this last trip, it was almost a little bit more difficult because we're dealing in the non-tangibles. So there wasn't a wheelchair I was giving them. And ultimately, you know, I hope to pass along hope to people. But as I was in this small city in Honduras, just looking around, driving around, I couldn't even push down the streets because everything was so inaccessible. And on one of the days, I met with a couple of the people with spinal cord injuries, just talking about more of the medical aspect of spinal cord injuries and doing some education. They started talking about, oh, it's just incredible how you're able to live on your own and you do this and you do that. And I just broke down in tears because it's not the same. And all I could say is it's not fair. I have access to so much here in the US and I know that they don't have access to that where they live. And yet they can still have some hope. And so being able to allow them to see, you know, what people did here in the US in the disability rights movement 50, 60 years ago, maybe they are the people who can start that process in Honduras. And just really wanting to pass along a bigger sense of purpose and meaning in their life.
I know we always want to do more and wish we could do more, but to just go in and be able to provide just that sense of hope and encouragement and provide a place where people can come together and support each other. I'm sure that was just huge. And, you know, what you had just said kind of leads me into the next question. In one of your recent online posts, you wrote that living with disability is in much ways a paradox. Could you explain more about that?
Yes. Well, a paradox is defined as two equal but opposite statements, two equally true but opposite statements. And so life can be really crappy and life can be really wonderful, both at the same time. So equally opposite and yet true at the same time. And I think it's really difficult and we need to hold that carefully and just remind ourselves that life is not all bad and life is not all good. So I think especially within the disability world, we can see some of the Instagram posts and Facebook posts, you know, the social media that just shines disability in the shiny light. And that's not truth. It's also not all bad. And so trying to really be honest and hold both of those truths at the same time and know that it can be hard and good both at the same time is paradox. And I think that's an important thing to try to come to terms with.
How do you keep from becoming overwhelmed by the harder side of the paradox? How do you go about, you know, trying to stay on the positive side, or is that even possible?
For me, I think a lot of it is just stepping back and reminding myself of what I have to be grateful for. And I have a wonderful family. I have wonderful friends. I have work that I enjoy doing. And even on the really bad days when it's really hard, I still have that. And so I don't think there's any magic thing where you can just say, oh, yes, everything's good all the time. But it's that constant reminder of, you know what, I still have things to be grateful for.
Exactly. And, you know, toxic positivity doesn't.
Oh, I can't stand it. Yes.
We need to acknowledge that sometimes this is hard. And
yes.
Even today, I'll just share with listeners, in trying to set up this interview, I was having problems with Zoom. I couldn't get you out of the waiting room, and there was just some little button and some little tab I needed to push, and you would, and if a person could see, they would have found that very easily, but it was difficult and I was frustrated, and you were very kind and sent me a link. And it's things like that that, you know, people I don't think realize, but we have to give grace to ourselves and not say, well, you know, I was kind of upset. I was like, I don't know how to do these things. And you were very kind. But I think we can get into that process where we just beat ourselves up.
No, we can spiral down. Good. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we have to accept our limitations and be grateful for the things we can do and for the people we have in our lives. So I think that's beautiful, a beautiful thing you're helping people with.
I think an important part of that is accepting help from others. So you could have just said, no, I'll figure it out. And I know I'm this way sometimes too. I'm stubbornly independent. I don't want to accept help, but there's times when we need help. And like you mentioned, acknowledging our limitations and accepting help when we need it is so useful. And sometimes I'm like, why didn't I do this earlier? it would have made so much more sense. And so I think that's part of that paradox as well, is okay, I need to accept some help, and that's okay.
Absolutely. What is it? We have not because we ask not. And sometimes we're just too stubborn, quite frankly, or prideful to ask for help. And sometimes it's necessary. And I truly believe that, you know, we provide others a blessing when they are able to help.
That's one of the sections in the last session of the journey, is finding meaning and purpose. And it's just talking about reframing what we need. And when we allow someone to help us, I am always so blessed when I get to help someone else. If I don't give them that opportunity, I'm preventing them the ability to be able to reach out and do something that they're capable of doing. And so I think, like, having to have a PCA, a personal care attendant, help me 2 mornings a week, I don't like that. It's something I would change in a heartbeat, but you know what? I have the opportunity to provide knowledge to someone who is younger and going into the medical field. They're going to gain knowledge that they never would have in a school setting. And so trying to reframe that and going, I'm providing something for someone that they wouldn't have otherwise. And even though I don't like having a PCA, I'm providing a benefit to someone. And I think just little things like that can be important for us to realize.
Jenny, one of the exercises you do in your workbook and in the conference at Honduras was a purpose meaning statement. Could you explain that a little more?
Yeah, so the purpose and meaning statement is just being able to think through what talents and abilities we do have. And I'm gonna get this out real quickly so that we can discuss it. So talking about the talents and strengths and abilities that we have and things that we love to do. And what am I passionate about? So basically the purpose and meaning statement is a fill in the blank. So it's, I will use my talents, strengths, and abilities to do what I love. So you fill in that blank. What do you want to do? What do you love to do? So that I can do what I'm passionate about. And that's going to be different for everyone. Some people do a very specific thing. I'm going to use my skills of film and technology to create a documentary about educating the population about disabilities. You know, that can be really specific. My purpose and meaning statement is a little bit broader. So I'll use my ability to encourage and listen to others, to give them hope so that they can live a full and meaningful life. And so that can look so very different, you know, in different situations. But I love being able to see what people come up with and see sort of like that light bulb coming on, that aha moment of, oh, I can still do something. I can still have purpose in this world, even with a disability.
Oh, that is beautiful. And just working through those questions, just having a person work through that, I'm sure just turns on a light bulb of hope. I would just imagine it provides people so much hope, seeing what they can still do and how they can contribute. Because I believe we all feel we all need to be needed. And by working through a purpose and meaning, you find that you are needed in this world and you are needed to help and encourage others.
Yeah. And I think after a disability, we lose that sense of meaning and purpose because we are the ones who need so much help. And so it feels like we don't have anything to give anyone else. But I think with time, we can learn to discover that some of those skills that we had, especially with an acquired disability that we had prior to a disability, they might look different. We might apply them differently. We might have to adapt it, but we can still use them. And being able to turn that corner, I think, is really important.
So, Jenny, there are listeners out there who may be experiencing disability for the first time, or maybe they're having a really hard time and they're in a difficult place with their disability. What would you say to encourage them?
You know, every situation is so unique. So it's hard to give one answer, but for me, hope, and I like to differentiate hope with a capital H between and hope with a little h, and I'll describe what I mean by that. Hope with a capital H is something that's foundational to our life. And for me, that's my faith. And so even on the really, really bad, hard days, I have a hope that's going to sustain me. For other people, that might look different. It just might be the knowledge that they do have a purpose, even if, you know, there's some days where we just cannot function. I mean, we had to put this interview off for a week because last week I was so out of it because of some muscle spasticity that I just couldn't function. And so I'm like, oh man, I hate, you know, having to change plans. And yet I knew it was also the wisest thing to do. But yeah. I don't know that I answered your question because I think it's different for every person. And that's part of the process of going through the workbook and working through some of these things is finding what is that hope that can sustain us on the hardest days.
So Jenny, would you have any parting words of wisdom for our listeners?
Parting words of wisdom. I think finding community that can be supportive and understand what life is like in our specific situation is so important. I got to talk with two different people last night. One was a woman who impacted my life so much over, I think it was about 25 years ago. And just getting to stay in touch with her and letting her know that she really changed my life. And that might sound like an overblown statement, but when I met her, I hadn't known very many people with spinal cord injuries, especially female quadriplegics. And so when I got to know her and see what she was capable of doing, I was like, oh my gosh, so much more is possible than I even realized. And so finding that community and continuing to seek that out over the years has been so helpful, because I think we can learn from each other, we can be encouraged from each other, and then we can, you know, encourage others as well. And I just think there's something so beautiful in that. But I don't also think that it's healthy just to stay holed up in the disabled community. I think being part of the larger community and being active in our communities is important just for an educational standpoint of showing people what people with disabilities are capable of doing. Do not, you know, congratulate me for being able to go to the grocery store because that is just having such low expectations for people with disabilities. Let's set the bar a little bit higher. And I think we can do that by setting an example.
Oh my goodness, I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Jenny. Where can people find out more about you, your story, and the books you've written?
Yep. So my website is jennysmithrollson.com. It's J-E-N-N-Y, S-M-I-T-H-R-O-L-L-S-O-N.com. And I have two books, Live the Impossible, How a Wheelchair Has Taken Me Places I Never Dared to Imagine. And that's my story that I just really felt compelled to share. I did not want to, but it was sort of one of those, huh, it's time to do this. I'm like, oh, crud. and then the workbook is called The Journey, Discovering Emotional and Spiritual Health After Disability. And that is a workbook. And all of that can be found on my website.
Well, thank you, Jenny. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. And I know this episode is going to be so impactful and so healing for so many people. So again, I thank you.
Thank you. I was really excited to be on here today.
If you like the podcast, remember to follow or subscribe so you never miss an episode. If you really like the podcast, we'd love it if you could leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. That helps more people to find us. If you really, really like the podcast, then please tell someone about it, either in person or send them an email or just share the link on social media. Thank you all. Every bit helps and it makes a huge difference for us. If you'd like a transcript, please send us an email to demandanddisrupt@gmail.com. and put transcript in the subject line. Thanks to Chris Unken for our theme music. Demand and Disrupt is a publication of the Advocato Press with generous support from the Center for Accessible Living located in Louisville, Kentucky. And you can find links to buy the book, A Celebration of Family, Stories of Parents with Disabilities, in our show notes. Thanks, everyone.
You say you've seen a change in me. Just for once, I think I would agree. Change. We both know there's a difference. We've had our curtain call. And this time the writing's on the wall. We'll be right back.
about the need for us to open up our minds and hearts to change. Throw the dice, then what will be? Disregard for good to set us free. There's just no way of knowing if love lives anymore. We'll turn out the light, then close the door. We tried to make things better, repair and rearrange things, but each and every letter spells out the need for us to.